Hey, this is Rob Motti. Thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show. Please make sure to subscribe to the show, rate, review, and share. This episode is brought to you by Heritage's Dairy Stores. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner, Doug Horton, and my lovely wife, Remy Motti. See, I threw your last name in there this time. She said to me the other day, why don't you use my last name? I'm like, aren't you like, you're like Madonna? You're like Prince? You don't need a last name.
Cher. First names are cool, yeah. Cher.
No, we don't talk about you. You don't remember what Cher said about me?
Oh, she's still cool, though.
Cher. Cher was not a Cher actually believed that reality TV is real. And had a comment about me on social media. When was this? Like 6 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, bad publicity, still good publicity. So
yeah, but come on, Cher.
She was not a fan of Rob.
She called me that Rocky dude. She referred to me as Rocky. As if,
that's cool. You know,
South Philly.
Yeah, but she also added an expletive
and
something
gotcha,
else.
Gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha,
so
gotcha.
That's Cher. She didn't realize.
Cher mentioned you. At least you got on her radar screen.
I mean, that's pretty
come
on. Awesome.
Hey, we'll take it.
Name dropping Cher here on the show. It's all good.
Thank you. Hi, Cher.
We'll get her on. She'll be a future guest.
Hey, maybe she's.
Maybe she'll listen to this show.
Maybe we'll get her to, and then she could see the new, the real, the transformation, all
right.
That stuff, and she can have some comments
that
on that.
Cool.
But we're all getting ready to go to Florida. Remy and I are leaving shortly.
Kyle
is going to be there by the time this show drops.
I need some sun, dude. It's like I need some sun,
some vitamin D.
Yes, glory to God.
Doug, for all you people not going to Florida, I feel for you when you're listening to this.
Sorry, Doug.
Doug's got to work.
Yeah, still working.
Still, yeah, you're gonna be all right.
We got spring break coming up in a couple weeks.
Go to
which
Florida.
Would be nice. No, there we just, you know, kids still have school.
Somebody's got to hold it down. See,
yeah,
while
exactly.
we're away,
that's
somebody's got to hold it down. And that's Doug. Doug's rocking like a different, you got a different hairstyle or you just need a haircut?
Probably just a haircut.
I don't know.
I don't have time for it.
There could be breaking news when we're away that Doug has to cover, right?
Doug's,
I mean, I'm hoping that there's breaking news soon
hold it down.
For at least the Phillies or at least somebody in the Major League of Baseball. Has breaking news soon.
What are the
Machado Harper things driving me crazy?
What are the chances by the time this show drops that either one is signed?
12%?
I mean,
that's ridiculous.
5%.
We are into, first of all, we're into spring baseball. Pitchers and catchers, right?
And not only that, full teams now.
Full teams. And we literally have free agents not signed. I know that it's great that people are talking about baseball on a regular basis right now, but it would be nice if they were talking positively about baseball at this moment when everything's starting to.
But how about the fact that this is consuming a lot of people's lives?
It's frustrating.
They're waiting on one guy, and
I think
he's
positive.
I think they're sitting back just laughing.
Yeah, I don't think
you know, they see what's going on, and it's you know, cities are going crazy, and fans are wanting to know what's going on. You know, they make one tweet on somebody else's profile. Like, I think Bryce Harper made something on Rhys Hoskins.
What did he post on Rhys Hoskins' Instagram? Like, sup, kid?
Yeah, it's just something stupid. He's coming to Philly.
Philly fans are go over the top? That's so strange. I've never
thought. No way. So, guys, our guest this week is going to be New Orleans Saints linebacker DeMario Davis. DeMario was a big reason, a big factor for the Saints' success on defense. We know all about their offense with Drew Brees and the weapons and Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas and everything else. But their defense really stepped up this year. And though they really fell short of reaching the Super Bowl, had a tough loss to the Rams, and we know about the call or the non-call and all that stuff in the NFC Championship game. But DeMario still went to Atlanta. A lot of guys don't want to go to the Super Bowl. They don't want to do anything, to do with the NFL after a tough loss like that. He went to Atlanta. He was there Super Bowl week. It was my pleasure to chat with him. And DeMario describes himself first and foremost as a servant of Christ. So we'll hear from DeMario Davis later on in this show. But what does it mean to be a servant for Christ? What does that mean? So we're going to discuss that today. We're going to call this show How's Your Service? Because anytime you want to go to a fancy restaurant or a nice resort or a beautiful vacation spot, oftentimes we go, hey, how's their service? Is their service good there? How often, though, do we look in the mirror and go, how's my service?
Yeah.
How's your service? How are you serving the Lord? How am I serving the Lord? Jesus set that example for us. He didn't come to earth to be served, but instead he came to serve others. And serving can come in so many different ways, and at various times of our lives, we can do it differently. But for each of us, the characteristics of a servant, I believe they're similar. So I put this list together, guys, and I want to go over it with all of us. A servant for Christ, to me, a servant for Christ, someone who has a servant's heart, has to be humble, has to be prepared, has to be persistent, has to be willing, has to be obedient, has to be unashamed, and have the ability to endure. And having that servant's heart means putting the needs of other people ahead of our own, but also doing it with the right attitude. And the right attitude means you're putting God's will first, and you're not doing it because you want to seek rewards or recognition or even gratitude for your service, our service. We're not doing it for that. We're doing it because Jesus showed us the way by serving with a genuine heart. Pastor Koff?
Yeah, look, I think when we start talking about serving someone, it's easy, especially in the church world and in our mindsets as humans, to start talking about doing.
Yeah.
And so much of the Christian life, church life, seems to be about doing. But the foundation for serving Christ is actually a foundation of love. And so it's actually about being in love with Jesus. And mm-hmm. when I think about serving someone, I think the first thing that we consider is, what do they love? Right. And then how do I make that a priority? Mm-hmm. So when we look at loving our wives or loving our spouses, loving our friends, it's not what do I love and ask them to make that a priority. It's what do they love? And then make that a priority in my relationship. I'm not always going to get it right, right? I mean, we're not. And that's never the standard. But when we look at actually Jesus's heartbeat of what he says he's looking for with his disciples, you know, there's two kind of real verses that stand out when it says, look, what's the greatest commandment of all? Love the Lord your God with everything you've got. Yeah. Love people, right? As yourself. And then Jesus says in John 13, he said, look, how will people know that you're my disciples? When love becomes the center of who you are, right? Mm-hmm. So I think if we have to boil it down, Rob, to the core of this, at least where do we start with this question? When I think about serving Christ, I have to think about what does Jesus love? And then make that a priority of me loving that as well and living that out of my life. And then everything else comes from that.
So good.
I love that a lot. I actually love I love that you mentioned love first, because to me, I know it's all about loving Jesus, but I feel like if you don't love yourself as well, and knowing who you are in Jesus, like you don't know your identity for a woman.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to you love yourself like Jesus loves you, that right, you've just lost everything.
Absolutely, because you're trying to get love then. Yeah. So the motivation even in relationships, Remy, so often is how do I feel loved from a relationship?
Right. And then for a woman, you're going to keep going for, you know, the man that's going to give you that love somehow, or the friend that's going to give you that love, or even your kids. You're going to suffocate your kids.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to, I want that love from you. And then you're going to get the society issues where the whole like, you need to look this way so you can be loved. You need to dress this way so you can be loved. And honestly, for a woman, it's tough. It's tough because you're trying to be like, I have two things. It's either I look homeless or runway ready. Like, there is no in between for me.
That's a mom usually right there.
I don't know about the looking. I think you look pretty good around
here. Come see me at home. Like, it's just,
I'm not going to say what I said on 97.
No, don't do that.
No, okay.
I could wear that and still look homeless, okay? Yeah. But, like, seriously, though, like, society puts that pressure on you. Like, you have to look runway ready at all times. Mm. And honestly, go to Target. That's reality.
Yes,
okay?
Correct.
Go to Target. That's a mom that loves herself.
Yes.
And she doesn't care. She just wants to put her kids first. She just wants to run to Target, you know, looking homeless and everything, and praying to God nobody sees her, gets her food, gets out. That's a woman that just loves God, herself first, puts God first, and puts her kids first. That's love.
Speaking of which,
there's love.
That's
a servant heart, by the way.
She asked. See here, I failed miserably because she asked me to get her coffee, but she likes Starbucks. Okay.
Yeah.
This morning when I dropped the kids off to school,
Dunkin' Donuts was closer.
It got a drive-through.
No,
see?
Just has to get Dunkin' Donuts.
I have my glasses on. I basically look terrible. I hadn't showered in the morning. I just went to drop the kids off.
Yeah.
So she wanted her Starbucks. I was like, babe, I'm going to go through the Dunkin' Donuts drive-through because I'm not getting out of the car because they didn't have a drive-through.
How vain was that? So I didn't get my coffee because
I'm going to tell you that I probably wouldn't have gotten out of the car, but I would have driven to another Starbucks that has a drive-through. I do it all the time, bro.
Thank you.
I will drive past the Starbucks that doesn't have a drive-through to get to one that does.
I totally
so lazy.
I considered that. I considered that, and I was like, nah, I got to be here on time. I was like, I'm not going 3 miles out of the way. So I failed. I did not have a servant's heart.
So I made my own coffee. Long story short.
There you go. I'll bring us back. I'll bring us back here. I mean, we're getting way. I don't know. Let's come in. I'll be handling things while you guys are in Florida, so might as well take control now. But, you know, I think, you know, when you're talking about servant leadership, there's two things that you have to eliminate. One is conceit. The other is selfish ambition. David Neeleman, who's the founder of JetBlue Airways, he gave a great example when they were hiring pilots. And he said, you know, when we're going through the interview process, we wanted to ask a question. What have you done? Show examples in your life where you've done things to serve others that benefit you. Not at all. There's no self-benefit through your service. And this one pilot who had flown thousands and thousands of miles called him up and said, hey, you didn't hire me, and I'm more than qualified to run these airplanes. And so David calls up his search committee, and he says, hey, what's the deal with this guy? This guy was really qualified. They said, you know what? He couldn't think of one instance where he didn't do anything for anybody else that didn't benefit himself.
Wow.
And so we tend to go with things, and listen, guilty is charged, right? I mean, if I can get something from somebody else when I'm doing a deed or a task or get credit for it, then, you know, I'm a little bit more motivated to do it. But how about no recognition possible? Just doing it under the table, just because somebody needs it, you know, not putting on Facebook or tweeting it out, you know, trying to get credit for it too. So I think when we look at the word selfish ambition or conceit or thinking that, hey, I did something good, pat me on the back, it's really hard to do some things that you don't get credit for, too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right.
Yeah, you jumped the gun. I was about to get into all these, the humble, prepare, and all that. And for humble, I wrote exactly that. Paul tells us in Philippians, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. And we can turn to Jesus for everything as an example, like the way Jesus lived his life. In humility, the way Jesus loved on people, everything that the Lord did, everything Christ did is an example for us. But as far as humility and being humble, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, is there
absolutely.
A greater example of humility? And, you know, this is something that throughout church history, like there are times around Easter when churches will do that, pastors will do that, and you know, you could take part in it too. I've always felt awkward about it, and it's one of those where, like, I'm not asking people to run out there and go wash somebody's feet, but just think about the humility it takes.
You're right.
About the humility it takes in washing.
And it's not
the
just
disciples'
about feet.
And this is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like I'm lowering myself. Like, I can lower myself to any – like, I pale in comparison to Christ.
Yeah.
And he set that example for us. Like, he did that. So getting back to as you were saying about having that servant's heart, you got to be humble.
Right.
And it's hard for all of us. It's hard for all of us all the time, like, to want to serve other people and do it because they can't do anything in return for you.
Well, I think too, you know, we think about washing somebody's feet. We're like, let's take your socks off. Let's take your Jordans off. Like, you know, let's get these sneakers off. You know, like, that's nice. But you think culturally at that time, they're walking in dirt and sand and their feet are probably nasty from sandals. And the fact that culturally that was a servant's job.
Yeah, right.
So you're lowering yourself to somebody else. You know, we don't have any, I mean, I don't know if you're going to go to, like, you know, a spa and get your feet done or something like that.
I feel weird about that. I draw the line that, like, I've never done a mani-pedi. And in fact, like, for Valentine's Day, I got Remy.
For real? You never did?
Nah. I got her a nice package and it was a couple's massage and like they gave you an extra perk. And the extra perk to choose from is like a
foot massage
and one's like a peppermint scalp massage. Ooh. And I'm like, well, I'm going to give them both to her because I don't want nobody touching my hair. And I don't want anybody touching my feet. But
I just think it's just to not only do it for somebody, which is nasty anyway, but to lower yourself to somebody else's, you know, class level.
Yeah.
It just makes it more significant.
I think the danger in what we're talking about, though, is that we're making the goal being humble. Instead of making the goal Jesus.
When we actually
focusing on Jesus in this, the relationship that we have with him creates the humility in us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's if not, the things even that we list, Rob, here are going to be they become the focus. Mm-hmm. Whatever you focus on, you give power to. So it's like, all right, I got to be humble. No. Paul's actually saying at the end of that, no, have the same mentality as that as Christ. He's actually connecting us back to Jesus.
It comes from being.
Correct. Exactly right.
Humility, you don't have to work. Then you don't have to work. It comes from wanting to be like Christ.
Because if not, it then gives us value. So again, I'm such a good person because I'm so humble. So then we get back. Then we have humble brags, and then it's not
false humility.
It's not humility at all. Yeah. It's just these sound very semantical. We just always have to be careful that the foundation of all of this and everything that we do when we serve Christ comes out of a love relationship with Him, because He is so amazing to me. It's easy then for me to be that way towards others. Yeah. Right. If I'm being that way towards others to show Him that I love Him, it's the wrong way. I do that to others because He loves me, not to get Him to love me.
I don't know about all of you, but I wash feet all day. I wash butts all day. I shower, and nobody gives me love or thank yous. I just do it out of love.
Mom, huh?
Okay, these are shout out to all the moms out there.
Hey, I got two babies, so we're
You have no option. Yeah.
I do the laundry.
She has never done my laundry.
I cannot touch your laundry. That might be from a preference from you, right? I don't know, Rob.
Went to Florida on spring training with my baseball team. Hadn't done my laundry yet. Jack Hopkins said, "You guys are going to have to wash your own uniforms. I'm not washing your uniforms." Learned how to wash on that trip.
Oh,
and I was a freshman, so then we had to wash everybody else's. Came home from then, still living at home with my parents. Have never let anyone do my laundry since then. But yeah, I do have preferences.
It's because some
things have to be hung. Some things have to be dry. Some have to be washed cold cycle. Some have to be hot. Some things are already tight, so you don't want to make it tighter. Yeah, but still, the fact is, you never have to do my laundry.
That's amazing. Yeah. Awesome.
I will keep moving on.
So you are persistent in the way that you do your laundry.
So you are humble and persistent in your laundry. We'll get to prepared, but persistence, when we talk about being persistent, like a servant's heart, a servant for Christ is persistent. The work out there is endless, and the Bible tells us the harvest is plentiful, but workers are few. Mm. We got to be able to endure, and a servant, you don't seek that recognition for the work, and you have to kind of always be up for the challenge, because it's not easy. And we're always going to be tested, but we're not on our own, and we have others around us helping us, and we're building a relationship with those people that we're doing life with. And God is within us, and He's working in us, and He's working through us. So to show that characteristic of persistence, Jesus was persistent. He wouldn't let you on your own. He's not going to leave you by yourself. If you have that willingness to go out there and show that persistence and do the work, because the work is incredible.
I want to talk about something. I'm sorry, I have like so many points. But when it comes to persistence, I feel like a lot of people think that you have to do something. Like you have to leave your house and do something. And that's something the devil tried me a lot when I was just at home with the kids when they were little. And he'd be like, "Oh, they're little. You can't go anywhere. You can't even go to Target. Just sit at home, do nothing. It's all good. Just be with your kids. Like, you can't be serving, can't do nothing." And I have talked about something that got me through, which is being persistent in prayers. Mm. And that's kind of a silent power that it got me through so much.
That's truth.
And I would be sitting there in my living room and just praying silently over my husband, over my kids. And I would be staring at them praying, and they'd be like, "Why are you staring at me?" I'm like, "You have no idea. I'm working some stuff. Okay, let me be." And I'll be silently praying. And you have no idea how I go as far as write my prayers down. And I have a prayer box. I actually have two now. And they're filled with prayers. And I would just write everything down, write the date down. And a year ago, there was some major prayers that actually happened and God answered, and they were some major stuff.
Love that.
And miracles, honestly. And it's, I just want to talk about the power of prayer, because people take that for granted. They think you have to be a doer.
Absolutely.
And all you honestly just start with persistent prayer.
That is doing.
Yeah, persistent prayer, like prayer with belief, prayer with faith, prayer with just, you know, I'm not letting go of you, God, till you do this, because I need to see change. And silent prayers are
Incredible. Yeah, like Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, I have so much to do every day, I have to start my first 3 hours a day in prayer.
Right.
So
it's so powerful.
It's so powerful when you get a hold of it, you know, because for us, we're like, oh, we have so much to do. And I'm thinking, this man changed the world. Yeah. And yet how he changed the world was recognizing you know, persistence comes from this concept of continually resisting. So that's where persistence comes from, the root words,
is that
it's resisting perpetually. Yeah. And what the issue that we face so often is that we love to live life without trial.
Yeah.
But in order to be persistent, it's constant resistance against the trial that you're facing.
Mm-hmm.
And for Remy, what you were saying is that part of that trial was is the threat to be apathetic or bored or, you know,
like,
we all face different trials. Yeah. That's why the beautiful thing of this nature is that it's not about a particular trial. It's continually resisting the trials that are with you with the faith that God has placed inside of you. Right. So I have a shield of faith. I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
I love Ephesians.
You bring those two things together and that actually enables us, you know, to stand because that's how we overcome. We don't overcome by doing the battle. Right. So the battle is the battle is mine, says the Lord.
Right.
It says put on the full armor of God and stand.
Yep.
And I think that that's, you know, that persistence of being able to say, whatever trial I face, I'm going to stand in faith.
Yep.
I'm going to stand in the word of God. I'm going to be unmoved and let him do the work.
Amen.
That's persistence. That's right.
You know, you kind of combine this with another topic of endurance. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think endurance just means I just got to get to the end, right? I just got to endure this trial. Persistence means that we're actually attacking it a little bit too. So, you know, I think when we face trials, we're like, I just want to get to the end. I want it to be over.
Yeah.
But then sometimes we become blinded to what God's doing during the trial that can teach us lessons along the way. You know, when you think about a marathon runner,
as you're
enduring the race, you know, there's different milestones that you face when, you know, say you're running a marathon, you know, mile 8 is different than mile 16, different than mile 19, 21, 22. And there's different roadblocks that you're going to face along that way. So, you know, pay attention to the trials as God takes you through them. Be persistent about what your overall goal is and don't give up.
I want to talk about preparation a little bit,
and
when it comes to preparation and being prepared, we often, like, experience is so crucial in everything that we do, and if you're going to hire somebody to fix something in your house, you're not going to hire somebody who doesn't have a resume, who doesn't know what he's doing. If you're going to go to a doctor for surgery, you're going to want to know that he's done this before. There's a great commercial, and I don't know what the commercial is out of, what it's about right now, but I see it all the time watching football. And the guy,
Geico,
the tattoo artist,
right?
Is it? I don't know. The tattoo artist is like, and he tells the guy, like, shouldn't you draw that on first?
Stay in your lane.
He's
man.
Like, stay in your lane, bro. No, I want the dude to draw that. Like, you want to go to somebody who has experience in that same way. Like, when it comes to being a servant for Christ, it takes preparation. And how do you prepare? Paul says in 1 Timothy, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
Yes.
So spiritually, that one day a week at church or that one sermon that you may listen to on your podcast roulette. I like to take your term there.
Yes.
Pastor Kyle, I play podcast roulette.
So it's bad for you.
So it's not enough. Like it's you got to consistently be spiritually in training and preparing yourself for, as Paul writes here, godliness.
There was a great post that I saw out there just on social media world. And it said, it's hard to get in shape spiritually if you only work out on Sunday.
Right.
That's really good.
You know, if you already said, hey, I'm just going to work
really
one day a week and think that I'm going to be able to achieve my goals, you're not.
Yeah.
It's got to be a daily grind.
Yeah, I mean, again, even those things go back to how we look at Jesus, our relationship with Jesus. There's a difference between me putting myself under training and me feeling like I have to go get train myself. And like when I have a love relationship, I don't wake up every morning and go, oh, I guess I got to go be with Danielle.
Right.
Right.
I get to go be with my wife
because I can't
wait to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that we've got to work through in marriage. There's things you got to work through in relationships, all of that stuff.
Right.
But it's the foundation is love. And I think, Doug, what you're saying is so right. When I look at, all right, I guess my spirit life, the way that I have to train, I got to get trained.
Yeah.
It's still me in the center of that. I have to do something to be that. No. I want to be around Jesus. The more that I'm around Jesus, the more that my flesh changes, the more that my spirit changes. It's not doing. It's actually being. And until we get that at the heart of who we are, being a servant of Christ is not about doing. The doing comes out of being. the being will never be changed by doing.
It's intentional. I think, you know, when we're intentional about a mindset, I think about coming home. Right, I come home at night after a long day of work, and my mind's fried, and I've been listening to stuff in the car, being on the phone. When I walk into that house, if I'm not prepared to handle what's going on, it's going to consume me. I may still be on my phone. I may not pay attention to kids. I may snap at them. I may be like, hey, I'm really tired. So I need to intentionally prepare my heart and my mind for each circumstance. The same thing happens when we go into work.
Yeah.
If we're a little late and we're running in and we're flustered, how are we going to react to that first person we talk to? Are we going to be able to say good morning to somebody or give them the time or notice what they're going through? So just be prepared. Take little timeouts during the day and say, I got to reset.
Yeah. Really good.
You got to be present too. I mean, some the people always talk about, you know, how do you manage everything? How do you do this, this, and that? It's really not about managing. It's about being in a moment.
Correct.
If you're home, be home.
Yeah.
If you're at work, be at work. But you can't do both because you won't have both. You can't be at both.
Yeah.
So if you're home, just be at home. Like, I'm always on him with the whole the
I
phone.
Do a lot of
put
work
the phone
home.
Down.
It's
put the phone down.
Home sometimes too.
But
though,
no, I get that.
Yeah.
No, I understand.
You just have
that.
To be present.
Well, a pretty successful quarterback who is about to hit free agency, or maybe not, and might get franchised position tag.
Who knows?
But has a Super Bowl MVP trophy. Always, Nick Foles always talks about staying in the moment.
He's my
That's how he
That's
doesn't
what?
Get too
That's
far
it. Here
ahead.
You go.
Staying in that moment, enjoying that moment. People asking him about, hey, it's going to be probably your last game for the Eagles. What do you think about free? He's like, I'm focused on this week.
Yep.
I'm focused on this practice. I'm focused on enjoying the guys here in the locker room before I even think about my next stop and all that stuff. I want to get into willingness. And when we talk about being willing, and Jesus traveled everywhere, he put no limits on where he went. Mm-hmm. He didn't care about the rough conditions or how tough the work was. He just served. And we need to, in that same way, try and put no limitations on where we go to serve. But that doesn't always mean pack your bags and just hit the road on a mission trip somewhere and then do something for 4 days in a third world country and forget about everything else and come home and feel like patting yourself on the back saying, I did a great, like, it could mean right now, today, going through that, hey, you want to avoid that rough neighborhood? No, drive through it. Because there may be somebody standing on a corner who can use a word. Like, I don't just give them a dollar or $2. If I have a protein bar, I give them, but I have Gospels of John. I just hand them Gospel of John. And one out of, like,
because you're prepared. Going back to that.
Yeah. One out of maybe 100 times I've done that resonated with somebody.
Yep.
And the guy got a job at a gas station, and I saw him like 8 months later.
That's awesome.
And that was it. Was maybe, and I don't know about the other people. I don't know if it resonated with them, but it's about being willing. Hey, we go into prisons, the prison ministry. That's going outside your comfort zone. That's not, you know, is it fun to go into prison and be ridiculed sometimes and be called, you know, all that stuff? It's not fun, but it's serving. It's serving with having that Christ's heart, Christ's mentality, and trying to serve the people that others don't want to.
Yeah.
And for me, that's kind of like, that's what it sums up to be willing, to have that willingness.
I think it actually comes to the foundation of being willing to submit to the Holy Spirit in any moment.
Right.
Because that's really the issue. You know, someone, you know, should I play this type of game or that type of game on PlayStation is as important as, you know, should I stop and give this person a dollar or not a dollar? I think should I, you know, how do I respond to this offense or this thing that could be offensive or not? I think we have to get back to being able to say, I'm willing to submit, put myself under the cause of the Holy Spirit. And that's what submission is. It's getting under the cause of someone else and considering that cause more important than mine.
Yeah.
How do I make that happen?
Yeah.
Because in that then, Robert, it enables us to live, as Remy was saying, in the moment in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, not in the moment with rules that we think how we should act or shouldn't act in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right, Holy Spirit. Because if we act off the rules of what we should do or shouldn't do, it's then easy to look down on those who don't act on those same rules.
Right.
And yet Paul says there are some who can eat meat offered to idols and some who can't. How dare you look down on that? It's about submission to the Holy Spirit in those moments. And that way if we're living in those moments of willingness, when willingness comes about, how do I submit to the Holy Spirit in that moment? It constantly puts this relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in front of us all the time, all the time, all the time. Instead of our own sense of morality, based even out of the Bible, but our own sense of morality, because that's what the Pharisees did. They had all these rules that said this is how we should or shouldn't. Yeah. They came out of the Torah. They weren't wrong. Right. They based the righteousness of their life off of their how they were willing to follow the Torah, and Jesus constantly brought it back to, but you have a Holy Spirit inside of you. This is my presence. Right. So that's where I think willingness really comes down to.
And they didn't want to hear that. They didn't take too kindly.
Can I tell you this? Way harder. It's way harder because you can be wrong.
Yeah. They didn't take too kindly to that. Obedience. This one, like, we could talk about every one of these. We could talk about for like 20, 30, 40 right. minutes. Obedience is one of those where sometimes like our plans to serve don't match up with God's plans for us. And perhaps like sometimes we're seeking a more glamorous way to serve. Like, I want to be up on stage singing, or I want to be up here doing this, or I want to do. Yeah, but maybe God knows there's someone else more qualified to do that task. So you have to trust and obey and follow his direction. One of the many biblical examples is David wanting to build that temple. And God's plan wasn't for David to accomplish that. It was for Solomon to build it. But he was obedient. And we need to make sure that we have that obedience within us. And it's not about us. It's not about my glamorous position or my spotlight. It's about how I can serve the Lord the best way and serving others through it.
It's great how all of these kind of go off of each other, right? If you're humble, then it's going to be a little bit easier to be more obedient.
Yeah, exactly. Willing.
It's not just, you know, and sometimes we think, man, I got that one taken care of. I'm good with that. But then you look at the other five or six and you're like, maybe I could do a little bit better with all of those.
Struggle is real, right?
Struggle is real. Yeah. Humanity.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I mean, look, Rob, you said something that's interesting when we talk about maybe God has something better for, you know, someone else better prepared or better. And that's absolutely true, because then for the kingdom, it's better. But I would even say it's even better for you, because God has something for you that if you're doing something that's not what he has for you, it's worse for you. So it's not even like, oh, I guess, because then I can look down. Oh, man, I guess I'm not as good as that person because God had that person picked for this.
Right.
It's not that. God has something picked for you to actually move you from glory to glory to glory, to maximize his glory in your story. And so if you're actually outside of that, then you are going to be harmed by it rather than be helped by it.
That's good, because I had a point. That's good. So the whole thing with like women fighting with each other for like positions and things like that. I mean, men do it too, but women get catty. Like, women get like, why her?
No.
You know, I'm prettier or what? I'm more qualified. But it's not really about that. It's about just, you know, just. It's okay. God has something for you.
Absolutely.
God has something specific for you. And if she got picked first for something, fantastic. I didn't want to get picked for it because it wasn't for me. If I had gotten that job or that position or whatever, I would have probably like really sucked at it because it's not for me.
Yeah.
But if it's something for me, God would bring it right to me. He will find a way to bring it to me. So the cattiness needs to stop, and the whole like just bringing people down and talking about, you know, oh, you're this or you're that. Or even with moms. Moms do that a lot too, you know, just... you're not a good mom or whatever.
Or whatever.
Everybody's
people judge.
Judgmental. I love how you brought that around to Kyle, how it's not that someone else, so someone is better prepared for this task, but you can maximize your skills and your talents and what God has for you in something else. So it's not having that feeling of, hey, I'm not good enough. I'll never be that good enough. Well, yeah, all of us have different skills. All of us have different talents. All of us can accomplish things in different ways. Quickly, I want to get to endurance and unashamed, and we touched on endurance. But one point that I want to bring up about endurance is that sometimes people are going to hate us. People are going to mock us. People are going to ridicule us. It happens. It happens quite a bit. It happens to me because I'm in the spotlight and people don't want to hear somebody who believes so strongly in the Lord and so boldly and then talk about sports. Like, hey, why do you have a sports opinion? Okay, whatever. Jesus suffered for us. And if you want to truly serve like he did, we're going to have to endure suffering along the way. And we've talked about this with Carson Wentz and when he posted different things and people want their quarterback to just focus on throwing touchdowns. We're never going to compare to what Jesus did for us dying on the cross, but we can endure suffering along the way for the greater good, because it's not even supposed to. That's what we are privileged to.
So don't ever think that it doesn't hurt and it's not it's not painful, right? I mean, it's still tough, but it gives you a perspective that you don't turn it inward on woe is me and, you know, this is really bad. That's the only thing that really gets you through is turning to God and saying, all right, God, I guess, you know, I'll just lean on you. You'll be my rock and we'll, you know, kind of see what you have planned for me. This hurts. I'm kind of my ego's slammed right now. So I'll try and put all my thought and your promises and who you are and who you want me to be.
Yeah. I'm going to flip that around just on the other side as well, because I think that is extremely valid. But as well as sometimes it's not that people diss you, it's that they praise you. And praise can be as detrimental to our lives as anything else, because the moment that they praise you for something, your human nature wants to stay in that thing so that it continues to get praised.
Right.
And there's a lot of, look, we were never designed for glory. We were designed to actually reflect glory, never to receive it. Mm-hmm. And so there's something very, very, that we have to be very careful with. I think we're much more aware of enduring in Christ and staying in Christ when we're going through the hard time and we're suffering and we're being persecuted. But on the flip side of that, are we still as focused on enduring and staying in Christ when we're being praised for who we are and what we're doing and how great our life is and how great our walk is and how wonderful you are in Jesus? And oh, aren't you the best husband, wife, Christian? And you're thinking, that's where those things are. So are we still enduring with our relationship with Jesus in the midst of all that?
Powerful. That's strong. And that can happen to any of us in anything that we're doing, whether you're a pastor, we're doing this, we're doing that. It's difficult when you're getting that praise to not just take in that praise and be like, hey, I'm good now.
Well, what do you say in sports? They're reading their press clippings, right?
Yeah.
And then you've been reading your press.
Yeah. You've been reading. And then you get complacent. You don't improve. Unashamed. When it comes to being on, and like you said, these all tie into each other. We've been given incredibly tremendous, great assignments, and it's really joyous work, and it's really a privilege to spread the gospel, and it's a privilege to serve other people. That's what it really is. When you have that servant mentality, it's a privilege. It's not, I got to do this, I have to do it. It's a privilege, and one day our reward is going to be well done, good and faithful servant. And it's not for sometimes you may be looking for that earthly reward, and you may have that expectation of, I did this, I did that, and it's, is it coming yet? Am I getting my reward? But the ultimate reward really is it's not about what you're getting here. It's about hearing, well done, good and faithful servant.
What a beautiful thing. You know, it helps us keep perspective, Rob. I love that, because you know, This life really is a vapor. It really is. And so much of what we go through is an illusion. And so when we can actually keep that heavenward, that view heavenward, and be able to say there will be one day that we all stand before our King. And it's not out of fear. It's not even out of greed that we hope he says, well done, good and faithful servant. It should be out of love. I only want Danielle to be proud of me. I only want my son to be proud of me. And so, Even though I'll fail throughout my life, I hope that the totality of who I am speaks something to them that they can say at the end of my time with them, man, I'm so glad he was my dad. I'm so glad that he was my husband.
Yeah.
And that's what I hope with my King. I hope one day that I get to stand before him and say, he says, I'm so glad you were my son.
Amen.
That's the ultimate praise. Yeah. That's the ultimate compliment. That's the ultimate for every single one of us. So how is your service? How is your service? I hope that through this exercise that we can all help each other along this journey, help each other recognize sometimes where we may be having difficulties or struggles in one area, where we can pick it up and improve our game in others. Coming up next, we're going to hear from New Orleans Saints linebacker DeMario Davis. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, Doug, and Remy. DeMario Davis was a third-round pick by the New York Jets in 2012. He played four seasons there, then spent a year with the Cleveland Browns, went back to the Jets for a season, and last year he anchored the defense for the New Orleans Saints. DeMario is one of the top linebackers in the NFL and a brother in Christ. He has a powerful testimony, grew up without a father figure, got involved in drugs, alcohol, was sleeping around. He was expelled from school. He had all kinds of trouble, but he found his way to the Lord, and he turned his life around when he turned to Christ. I had a quick conversation with him at the Super Bowl. He's a member of the Players Coalition, and we chatted after the players held a news conference. We'll get him back on here to share more, but here is my conversation with DeMario Davis, brought to you by Heritage's Dairy Stores.
What's it mean for you to be part of the Players Coalition, all the work that you guys are doing, just to be part of it? What inspired you to kind of join this and really take on that role and take on that fight?
I'm a firm believer in to whom much is given, much is required. And so we have these tremendous platforms. We're always in the spotlight. Our voices are always being heard, no matter what we're talking about. And so we have to use that responsibly, and I think being a voice for our communities, especially when so many of us come from these communities that are really hurting and really in tough situations and being systematically oppressed, and it's not everyone is aware of what's going on. I think it's important for us to use our platform to bring awareness to these issues.
As I was listening to the presentation, there were some numbers that were just staggering to me. Kids that are able to be prosecuted at the age of 5, and I have twin girls who are 5.5 years old, and I would have never imagined that could happen. Are you learning new things as you're going through this and a lot of stuff out there that most of us may not know?
Yeah, so much of it is stuff that we do not know, because it's horrible that once you see it, you realize how bad it is. You know, it's not like you have to make a decision of what's right and what's wrong. I mean, it's very noticeable and it's very easy to see, you know. And so, but the thing is, a lot of it happens in the dark. And so there is a lot of stuff that I learned along the way. But I think in theory, you know, coming from these communities, you're able to see, man, there's so much systematic oppression that's going on. But what becomes clear when you're working with these groups is how these systems actually operate, and how they create traps and cycles that continue, you know, and that's what we want to do, is end these systematic oppression cycles.
Now, a lot of people are going to look at you and label you as different ways. You're a football player, you're this, you're that. You, on your bio on Twitter, say, I'm a servant of Christ. What does that mean to you to be able to tell the world, because people look up to you, man. You're an athlete. You're playing on that stage. Hey, I'm a servant for Christ. What does that mean to you to be a servant of Christ?
Oh, man, that's everything. That's, you know, I always hear people say, like, Christ should be first in your life. But, no, Christ should be central in your life. You know, he should be your life. You know, and so I just believe the word, what it says, all things that we do should be to the glory of God. And so everything I do is about glorifying God. It's the way I play the game is about glorifying God. The way I love my wife is about glorifying God. The way I raise my kids is about glorifying God. The work I do in the community is about glorifying God. None of it is about glorifying me. It's about building the kingdom. And that's what's most important to me, you know, is to be an imitator of Christ day in, day out. Every day I'm just trying to know him more, trying to make his name known more. And so anytime anybody asks me, why do I do what I do? Why do I play football with the passion I play? You know, why do I work so passionately in the community? You know, why do I treat this person this way? It's because I'm trying to be a representative of Christ. You know, it's all about being a reflection of him and bringing glory to his throne.
Amen. DeMario, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, man. God bless.
That was DeMario Davis, New Orleans Saints linebacker, brought to you by Heritage's Dairy Stores. He does have a powerful testimony. We got into a little bit of part of it here, and I want to talk about the part where he talks to whom much is given, much is required, because so many times that gets blown out of taken out of context, to whom much is given, much is required. I think we're all, what that means is, like, we're all responsible for what we've been given, and we've been blessed with different talents, different skills, in some cases wealth, in some more knowledge, and all kinds of different things. And we're using it to glorify the Lord. and to benefit others and to serve, going back to a servant's heart and having that servant mentality, that's where to whom much is given, much is required. It applies to everyone. Sometimes we want to step back and go or put it on the rich people and put it on those who are powerful and influential and say, well, you've been given so much and much is required out of you. And why aren't you doing this? And they should be doing. And we want to just deflect the giving and deflect the serving and want someone else to do it. When in actuality, every single one of us, we've been given. We've all been given. You woke up today. You're blessed. You got out of bed. You're blessed. You went to work. You're blessed. You have a job. You have a roof. You have a wife. You have a family. You may not in some cases. You may in other. Like, we've all been blessed in one way or another. We all have enough to give in one way, shape, or form. It doesn't have to equate to finances, and it doesn't have to equate to giving materialistically. It could be just a giving of your time, lending an ear, having someone to just be there and hear and hug and whatever it is. So I think I want to just explain that to whom much is given, much is required, goes so much more beyond having a lot and giving a lot.
You know, I think just telling your story in some cases, having the courage to endure what you've gone through, be transparent about your struggles, your weaknesses, and to share that with somebody else could be a blessing to them. You know, and sometimes we're like, man, I feel bad. But your negative attitude potentially could impact them in a negative way, right? So, you know, I guess that's kind of been something that we've seen the last couple of weeks is just people telling their stories and people being blessed by it, by saying, hey, I can relate to what you're going through. I went through something similar to that. And you don't know who's going to do that, but just by standing up there, sharing what you went through, let God use it. Put it up there.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you know, Jesus is talking about there in Luke 12, that whole concept of if you've received mercy, make sure that you give it away. If you've received grace, make sure you give it away. You know, we always, Rob, you referred to it, you know, we're always looking for what we would consider rich people to apply this, but that's not what Jesus is saying.
Nope.
He talked about from the servant that has little to the servant that has much, and it's, you know, how freely do we need mercy from God every day? Mercy is not getting what we deserve, which is
all
death,
of us need it.
Right?
All
exactly.
Of us.
Right.
Amen.
And grace is getting what we don't deserve. Yeah. We are so willing to receive those things every day, seek those every day, but how often are we willing to be generous in giving those things away? And so if we find the generosity of God in our life, then out of that love for God, the generosity of should flow out of our lives as well. It's not a rule. It's a reaction.
You know what's funny? When Jesus was here, if you think about it, he is the King of Kings. He is the richest one around. Like, he was walking around, the richest guy
absolutely
around.
Right.
Did he give money to anybody? Did he hand anybody a dollar bill?
No.
That's not what he did. It's not about money. He was given love. He was giving mercy. He was giving grace. That was his currency. He wasn't handing people money.
Right.
Like, here, here's money for you.
Yeah.
It wasn't about that. It's about his love.
Yeah, changing. So I love what you just said, Remy. The currency of heaven is love. The currency that Christians should be giving away is the elevation of someone else's position.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
Jesus did, right?
Right.
So he elevated everybody's position, whether they were blind, lame, whether they
right.
were needy,
yeah.
whether you know the Lazarus who had who was dead, right?
Yeah.
You know, there was Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, who had a lot of money, right? He
right.
has his
yeah.
own tomb. Jesus was just simply about elevating someone's position, so that they could become closer to their heavenly Father. And if we can actually start there. It doesn't matter whether there's someone who's living on the street or living in the penthouse.
Right.
When we can look at that individual, not for what they have, but actually from where they are and how can I help them take one step closer to Jesus,
right.
that is handling the currency of heaven correctly.
That's right.
Yeah, we get caught up in the idea of rich being wealth and material possessions. When the idea, like who is to define rich? Rich isn't about, it's not about wealth and material possessions. Rich in spirit. Rich in love, rich in mercy, rich in grace. That's what being rich is all about. So when we say to whom much is given, much is required, we all have something to give. One more thing I want to touch on real quickly. DeMario says, being an imitator ambassador of Christ day in and day out and making Christ central in everything. He's like, you talk about putting Christ first. No, put Christ central in everything you do. So when you put Christ central in everything you do, goes back to what we're talking about today. How's your service? What kind of servant are you? Mm-hmm. If Christ is central in everything you do, all of those things I ran down, humble, prepared, willingness, enduring, obedient, all of that, because Christ is central in everything you do, you're able to have those qualities. You're able to have those characteristics.
Yeah, Rob, when we, you know, growing up, I was always taught, you know, it's God first, right? Family second, work third, right? It's the priority. And look, that's just wrong. I just need to throw it out there. It's just wrong. It's Jesus in everything. And when you make Jesus first and only, it's not first and then everything else. It's first and only. Yeah. Everything goes into him and he goes into everything. Then his priorities become my priorities. What he loves, I love.
That's a great point, because we always said, oh, my priorities are messed up, because Jesus really isn't first in my life, because I, you know, so many things cloud my mind and take my time. So just to make sure Jesus is in everything, that's a great way to turn around that basic Sunday school type thought process.
Right. Yeah, we try everything, Doug, to put it into, how do I put it into a formula, right, so that I can be okay, and you can't. When there's a hierarchy, it'll always crash.
When we come back, we'll wrap it up. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores, it's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, Doug, and Remy. If you missed any of our previous episodes, Doug, tell them how to catch up.
Well, if you haven't been to faithonthefieldshow.com, you need to get there and check out all of our past episodes. You can listen anytime at your convenience. Make sure you also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Like us on Facebook, at Faith on the Field. And make sure you sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right to your inbox each week.
And we are out of time. Thank you to all our listeners, all of our followers. Big thanks to our guest today, DeMario Davis. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, all he does to make us present better. Jim Henderson, thank you for his work behind the scenes. Thanks to our wives. Thanks to Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox for producing the show. Thank you to all of our sponsors, 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. For Kyle, Doug, and Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.